I want to welcome you. Some of you are new, so we're coming in at session three here. My name is Norma. My husband's name is Michael Latinsky, and we are Kingdom Partners Ministry. And this is How to Hear God's Voice, session number three. And tonight's topic is intimacy with you is the desire of God's heart. So I hope you all have teaching notes. Okay, we're going to get started. I want to start with a quick review of what we've been covering for the last couple of weeks. The four keys to hearing God's voice are, and let's do the hand motions, see if you remember them, stillness, vision, spontaneity, and journaling. Okay, we're going to do it one more time. Say it with me. Okay, stillness, vision, spontaneity, and journaling, right? Okay, a couple of little tips on that. For stillness, it really helps you if you are in a place where you're not don't have a lot of distractions. A little bit more on that later. For vision, you can actually, I like to just close my eyes and imagine that Jesus is right there with me, and I like to put myself in a really nice place. Like, one of my favorite places to meet with Jesus on the screen of my mind is we are on a porch with two rocking chairs side by side, and we're looking out at a beautiful garden. Or sometimes we go to the beach together, and sometimes we just hang out in the bedroom where I have my quiet time. So that's just a way of using vision, okay? The spontaneity, you're going to be tuning to the flow of spontaneous thoughts and pictures that will just come effortlessly into your mind. And, of course, the journaling is you're going to write down what you hear or the thoughts. You're not going to hear it as an audible voice, very unlikely. But you're going to get a flow of thoughts in your mind and possibly pictures. Okay, so those are the four keys. Last week we talked about how to quiet your mind, which is usually a problem for people. And so I gave you some very useful hints on how to do that. First of all, you want to remove the outer noise. So you want to get rid of distractions. You want to turn off your phone. You want to put yourself in a place where you're not going to be disturbed by other people. And you also want to choose a good time of day when you're awake and alert, but not, morning usually works for most people, but it doesn't for everybody. So whatever works for you. Remove the inner noise. So sometimes, you know, you have just those thoughts popping into your head, distracting thoughts. And what you want to do when you're sitting down trying to have that quiet time with the Lord is just when a thought comes to your mind that seems like it's relevant or important, maybe something you have to do later in the day, just write it down and just move on. Don't hang there. You can sing. You can pray in tongues. You can listen to soaking music. You can visualize Jesus with you, like I said, in a very comfortable place. Those are all nice ways to remove the inner noise. And then we talked about testing what you hear. So what you want to do is you're just going to spontaneously write down the thoughts and ideas that are coming into your mind without judging. Remember, you're going to write in childlike faith. And then you are going to go back and reread it and try to decide, does this really seem like it was God speaking to me? And the way you do that is you analyze what you have read, or written rather, and you want to compare it with the qualities of God's nature. So does it seem loving? Does it seem kind? Does it seem forgiving? Does it seem affirming, not accusatory or condemning in any way? Is it comforting? Is it edifying? Is it revelatory? Those are just some of the qualities that of God's nature, his character. And so what you write should line up with that. Remember, it's not going to necessarily be found specifically in Scripture, but it's going to be consistent with the revelation of Scripture. Okay? So with that, I will turn it over to Michael.
Well, last week we finished. Here we had a journaling time, and then we sent you off and encouraged you to journal during the week. So my question to you is, how many of you had a breakthrough in your two-way journaling last week where you really felt you were hearing from God? That's right. Anybody? Everybody? Some of you did. Well, if you're feeling like you're having difficulty, the thing to do is take some time and ask the Holy Spirit to show you where the block is. He's more than willing to do that because his desire is for us to be communicating with him. So just ask him. And the most important thing you can do is keep trying. Because people, sometimes for some people it just comes really easily, and for other people it seems to take a while to kind of get in the flow, no pun intended, of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and getting used to sensing the spontaneous voice of God. And so just keep at it, just keep practicing, and you will get it. Remember God's promise. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice." That's his promise. You can count on it, so keep at it.
Well, last week we had, I don't see her here tonight, but there was a woman who said that when she was trying to journal, she would close her eyes, and then she would get something in her mind, and then she would open her eyes to write it, and then she'd forget what it was. Okay, so there's a simple fix for that. I want you to think about it like if you were in a lecture class and you were taking notes, you're taking notes simultaneously with what you're hearing, and you're not going to be writing with your eyes closed, are you? You want your eyes to be opened. It's like, just think about if you were in church and you were taking sermon notes. It's the same thing. Okay, the thoughts will come into your mind just like they are right now. You should be thinking thoughts of hearing what I'm saying, and you just write down what you get, okay, without your eyes closed. Okay, so you can close your eyes when you're just trying to settle yourself and quiet your mind. But then when you're actually writing, your eyes are going to be open, okay? Because you can still see things. You can actually see vision in your head, pictures, and receive thoughts with your eyes open, I would hope. Anyway, I was just concerned because it seemed like some people, when we were watching during the exercise that we had at the end of class when we had to do the practice the two-way journaling, some of you people were just sitting there, and it was obvious that some people were struggling, and not everybody was doing really great. So I talked to the Lord about it, and a couple of days ago, and this is what he said. I wrote, here's my question, because it's always good to start with a question. I said, "Lord, I'm concerned about the people and how to hear God's voice who don't seem to be getting it. They're hearing nothing, apparently. What can we say to encourage them?" And so here's what he said to me, what I journaled out. He said, "Norma, my dear one," remember, he's going to speak to you in the first person. He does to me. "It's good that you are concerned, for you know how life-giving my words are. It really is all about practicing, learning to quiet the mind, tuning to flow, and just writing the thoughts that will effortlessly come. My voice is soft and gentle, never harsh and demanding. Striving will stop the flow, so being in a relaxed state of mind is needful. Remind them that they can hear me. It just takes practice and the belief that I do want to speak to them, I do want to encourage them, and I do want to share my love with them. Pray for the ones who are still struggling to hear. Remind them that I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. It will be a little different for every person. Some will hear me best by seeing, others through physical sensations that validate my presence, but all will hear me speak to them. No one is a second-class citizen in my kingdom. I love all my children. I am delighted that so many are yearning to hear my voice. Urge them to use the four keys and keep at it. Also encourage them that simply being in my presence is life-giving and transformational. It's not always necessary to hear something. I am communing with them spirit to spirit, not always in words, but in their hearts, bringing hope and healing. Let me be God. I will touch my children as is best for each one." So I hope that encouraged you.
Good. So we've been talking about journaling, and the question comes up, is this journal entry really from God? Or is it influenced by our feelings? And we've been discussing different ways you can hear from God. You hear the voice of your flesh, voice of the devil, or the voice of God. And ways to test it, Norma just mentioned those. But the kind of input we get from God can also be influenced by our heart. Because we filter what we hear through our heart. And that means through our emotions, our feelings, our beliefs. And what we feel in our heart can affect it. And Mark Wertler called this having an idol in your heart. And that's when our worries, our concerns, those feelings and emotions that we have can actually color our journaled entries. And so it's possible that because of what's going on in our heart, it's hard to figure out what's going on. Now I want to read a quote from a book by Timothy Keller, and this book is called Counterfeit Gods, which is really interesting. So this is a quote from Keller. When most people think of idols, they have in mind literal statues or the next pop star anointed by Simon Cowell. Yet while traditional idol worship still occurs in many places, internal idol worship within the heart is universal. In Ezekiel 14:3, God says about the elders of Israel, "These men have set up their idols in their hearts." Like us, the elders must have responded to this charge. Idols? What idols? I don't see any idols. God was saying that the human heart takes good things, like a successful career, love, material possessions, even family, and turns them into ultimate things. Our hearts deify them as the center of our lives because we think they can give us significance and security, safety and fulfillment if we attain them. And he finishes up with, an idol is whatever you look at and say in your heart of hearts, if I have that, then I'll feel significant and secure. Now, this idols in your heart is important. Let me give you a biblical example. This is from the story of Balak and Balaam, which is in Numbers 22. Balak is king of Moab, and he calls on Balaam, who's a prophet, and says, I want you to go and curse Israel. So Balaam says, well, I'll have to pray first. So he goes to pray, and he goes and he prays and he asks God, what am I supposed to do? And God answered him very clearly, don't go, don't curse. So Balaam stayed right where he's at. Well, Balak was really upset because he wanted him to go and curse. So he sent his people to Balaam, and he said to them that that he would promise Balaam a great reward if he would just go and do what Balak wanted and to curse the Israelites. And he offered him this big reward if he would do what he said. So Balaam answered, and I'll quote this. Balaam said, even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God, which is exactly right. He wanted to go seek the Lord. So Balaam goes to seek the Lord a second time. But this time, with all these thoughts of money in his mind and his heart, he gets another answer from God, a different one. This time God says to him, go, which is different than the time before where he said, don't go. And in 2 Peter 2:15, it clearly says that his idol was the money he was contemplating. So Balaam got two contradictory words from the Lord. The first one was a pure word, but the second one, because his heart was thinking of money and greed, was filtering the words that the Lord said to him, and he got an impure word. Therefore, the easiest way to get a bad journaling entry or to not get the answer from the Lord that you really would like to hear, but you know, that it would be from him, is if your heart is consumed with some emotion or strong desire. And so this is something we have to be careful with. Thanks. So let me give you some examples. For example, when finances or health worries or family issues, relationship problems, job concerns, fear or anger, when these things fill our hearts, it's hard to get a clear answer from God. If I'm upset, for example, with someone who's hurt me or offended me, I do not trust what I get from God when I pray about that situation. I have to go and repent and get my heart clean before I'll trust anything that I hear from God. There was a couple we knew, this is a number of years ago, when we were elders in the church, and they came to us and to all the other elders because they wanted to make a trip to Oregon. They wanted to move to Oregon, and they were determined to go. Well, all of the elders independently prayed, and we felt this was not God, but they were determined to go, and they went. And it turned out to be a disaster, and they ended up getting a divorce, actually. Or because their heart was filled with this desire that was not necessarily God's desire, it was an overwhelming desire to live in the forest. We know a woman who's divorced, been divorced a long time, and she has this thing in her heart that she can only be whole if she's married. And because she's not, this is consuming her. And it's really hindering even her walk with the Lord, because she is feeling that the Lord has let her down by not giving her a husband. So for me personally, when I am concerned about my medical issues, and I've had lots of medical issues over the last 10 years, lots of things going on, it's really hard for me to hear clearly about me, because these things, I'm worried about the answer I might get, what's really going on. So our emotions, our feelings can affect or filter what the Lord is saying to us. So we have to be aware of that. Sometimes, we want to pray, we might want, in fact, I really recommend that you have spiritual counselor or counselors who can test your journaling, because sometimes you're concerned about whether you're really hearing clearly. So you want someone to help you, that you trust that here's God, that can say, this is, yeah, that's God. Oh, no, I think that's filtered through your heart. You know? And it's good sometimes to get people to pray with you when you have to make major decisions, when there's major issues in your life. And we're going to actually spend some time later on in the class talking about guidance, which is another one of these areas where we have to make decisions about guidance. So if the problem seems so big, if the problem seems so overwhelming, you probably are having a doubt idol in your heart, which makes it hard for you to hear clearly. So the idea here is to recognize that God loves us and to give those emotions to Him. And Norman's going to talk about that, and Him talking to us.
I think the bottom line is, if the problem seems bigger than Jesus, if it seems bigger to God in your mind, then you're what Mark Berthler would call praying through an idol. Okay? So you have to get to where God is the big one and the problem is the little small issue over here, because nothing is too difficult for God, right? And He really does want to work in our lives. He does work everything for good. And I would also second the motion about the idea, if it's a major decision, you don't want to do that based on your feelings. You want to get good, solid input and confirmation from the Lord. And we will talk about that in a future class. Okay, let's move on to Roman numeral 3 in your notes. And this is really the crux of what we want to talk about tonight. And it is how God wants to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. And my question is, to each one of us, is the loving relationship that Father God has for you, that we all know about intellectually, is it a reality in your life, or is it just a concept? You know, it has to get from the heart, rather from the head. This is really my head, not my heart. It has to get from your head to your heart. And sometimes it's really difficult to get it, that the love of God and the love that He has for each one of us really cemented and solid in our lives. And I want to assure you that two-way journaling, from our experience and from the experience of most of the other people that we have talked to, that we have taught this method to in the past, it's going to definitely enable you to draw closer to God and receive His life-giving, affirming, loving words. There's nothing like it that I've ever experienced in terms of being able to get that kind of loving communication from Him. Okay, now when you think of somebody in the Bible that seemed to have a really good relationship with God, who do you think of? David, okay, who else? Abraham? Samuel? Moses? Anybody else? Saul? Paul? Yeah. Elijah? Yeah. Okay, those are all good answers. Let's talk about some of them, okay? Remember David, King David was called a man after God's own heart. What a compliment. That's so amazing to me. And like in Psalm 18, he says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And in many of the Psalms, when you read them, you'll see he's just so real about his emotions. He pours out his heart to God, and he doesn't try to hold anything back. He can be angry. He can be discouraged. He can be upset. He can be very fearful. I mean, all of these emotions come out. And as you read the Psalms, and of course, he also is very positive in talking about God and very excited about the Lord. That's okay. It happens. Anyway, what you'll see when you read the Psalms, sometimes he'll start at being really, like I said, raw and emotional. And then suddenly there'll be a shift. And then it's like he tunes into the Holy Spirit. And then he starts praising God and thanking him and recalling his deliverance and the amazing things that God has done. And so to me, I think you can think of the Psalms as David's two-way journaling set to music. Because it really is like that, you know, because he's getting the input from the Holy Spirit, and you can just see he just settles right down, and he receives the reassurance that God has for him. I think another really good example of someone that has a really close relationship with God is Mary, from Mary and Martha in the New Testament. You know how Jesus, he didn't really rebuke her, Martha, who was running around doing all the housekeeping chores, but he said, Mary has chosen the good part. And the good part was just sitting with him, hanging out with him, listening, learning, sharing love with him. You know, it's like she couldn't get enough of his presence. And that's really what God wants for each one of us. He wants us to enjoy him and not have to work at it. And I think some of us feel like we have to work at it. We have to read so many chapters of the Bible. We have to pray so many prayers. We have to do this. We have to do that. And I think a lot of times God just wants to hang out with us. And just he wants us just to enjoy his company. And so your time with him should be pleasurable. Okay? It shouldn't be a chore. Paul, I think, is a great example of someone that knew the love of God. And I think he would have to really have such a deep relationship with God to go through all the persecution and the trials that he experienced. And so he writes about the love of God and how it's far greater than we can even think or imagine. And I've given you a few scriptures there that in your handouts. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 8:39. I'm persuaded that death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then finally in Ephesians 3, I think you may have a typo there, it's verses 18 to 19. He prays for us that we would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. And of course, Jesus is the perfect example of someone that had a loving, intimate relationship with the Father. Now in John 17, the high priestly prayer that he prays for his disciples, and that includes all of us, he prays, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now that is a really mind-blowing statement. He is actually asking the Father to bestow upon us the same level an extent of love that God the Father has for Jesus. And if we are in union with him through the Holy Spirit, we have that capacity to receive that level of love from God. But do we? That's the problem. We have to learn how to receive God's love. And so if you're anything like me, you probably wonder if God really loves me that much. Because after all, we know ourselves, right? We know the things we've done that we're not particularly happy about. We know the thoughts in our mind that aren't always loving, you know, all that sort of thing. And so a lot of times I think we feel unworthy of his love. But God wants to break through that. He really does. He wants us to understand how much he loves us. And that he looks at us with, and his love is unconditional. It's something with which most of us, I don't think, have experienced. I know I didn't growing up. This whole idea of unconditional love was a whole new concept to me. But God wants to break through and let us experience his love. And that's what we're going to be working on tonight. Not working, that's what we're going to be experiencing. I just said we're not working. We're going to experience his love tonight. That's our prayer. And I assure you that as you get comfortable with two-way journaling, the Lord is going to start speaking to you about how much he loves you. And he's going to keep saying it over and over and over until it gets from here to here. Okay, Wes, could you come on up?
This is 1 John 3. Father has lavished on us. We should be called the children of God. How great is the Father's love.
Okay, now here's what I want you to do. Isn't that a wonderful song? I love that song. We're going to write a two-way love letter to Jesus tonight. Okay, so what I want you to do is write in your journal this sentence. Lord, here's why I love you so much. Lord, here's why I love you so much. And then we're going to give you just a couple of minutes to write. So we really want it to be more from him responding to you. We don't want to give you 20 minutes to write about how much you love God, because you probably could. So just jot down a few ideas. Yes, I want you to tell the Lord why you love him first. Just a few sentences. You're writing him a letter. Yeah, I'll tell you what to do, okay? No worries. Just write to him a little bit. Tell him what you love about him. Okay, so stop. Now I want you to skip a line. And now you're going to let Jesus respond back to you. So what I want you to do is to write in childlike faith without judging. Just write the ideas that spontaneously come into your mind without judging. Okay, stop right there. Finish the thought. Okay, now reread what you wrote. Okay, look up at me when you're done. Okay, how many of you felt like you got something from the Lord, that you heard something from him? Okay? How many of you felt like you really heard something from God? Okay, raise your hands high so we can see. Awesome, look at that. Okay, was it loving? Was it surprisingly loving? Yes. Okay, I think we can agree that you probably heard from God. All right? He really wants to tell you how he feels about you, and it's much better than you think most of the time. Okay, we're going to do a couple of other exercises now.
Okay. Now, what I'd like you to do is ask the Lord to give you a love gift. And then just write what he tells you, or what he shows you. A love gift, a gift from the Lord to you that demonstrates his love for you. I don't know how that'll look, but he has a gift for you. So ask the Lord to give you a love gift, and then just write the thoughts that come into your mind, that light on your mind, or maybe a picture that you see.
Yeah. It'll most likely be a picture. That's how it usually is when I do this.
So now, just write the love gift that he's giving you. Okay, finish up in the next 5-10 seconds. Now, I want you to visualize yourself giving a love gift to God. So, give a love gift to God and try to visualize that. Gift to Jesus.
Okay, let's just wrap it up. What we would like to do, how many of you saw Jesus giving you a gift? Interesting. We would love to know what they are. We'll ask in a minute if anybody's willing to share. And how many of you saw yourself giving him a gift? All right. Very good. Okay, would anybody like to share either what you journaled or the gift that Jesus gave you? And I'll volunteer at once now. Okay, can you come up? Okay. Is it okay if I just take it here? Oh, okay.
He gave me the gift of peace.
Good. Did it look like anything?
Calmness.
It looked like calmness?
Yes.
Did you see it?
No, but that's what I wrote when you said, give a gift to Jesus.
Okay, that works. I'm just curious if you were able to visualize it. That's good. Okay, anybody else? Kathy.
At first, I didn't think I saw anything, but I think I saw a rainbow. but I heard, my presence is my gift to you, my presence and my promise. Be joyful and receive my eternal promises to you. I am with you always, and every good and perfect gift is from me.
You think that sounded like God? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, anybody else? Who was it? Out there, here. Go.
I'm coming. Here you go.
He gave me courage, because I've been asking for that for a while, and wisdom. And he spoke to me very clearly on writing back. It's kind of long, but maybe not.
Read it.
He said, "My child, I love you so much. I'm always watching you, and I am proud of you. I see your face and love for me, and I want you to know that I love, that I have plans for you. And I'm happy to see your patience and perseverance. I see that you are my child, and that is why I have given you a pure heart. You will do great and mighty things in my name, as I said. Just believe as you have done. Be patient. You're in the right track. Keep reading."
Do you think that sounded like God? Do you notice how personal it was? That's what happens when we start having a relationship with him. It becomes very personal.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very encouraging. He knows you. He knows all about you. He loves you. And that's really the message that he wants to communicate to you. Anybody else want to share? We've got a couple of minutes before we wrap it up. Okay.
I was reminded, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And I thought of all of the blessings that the Lord has given me, innumerable, unable to be numbered. However, the most precious gift I have is the salvation that he has given me. And that's my precious gift. Thank you.
That's very nice. Okay.
You notice how everyone is unique. Everyone has different inputs. the way the Lord speaks to us is always unique and personal to us. So you just want to practice sitting in his presence and talking to him as if you're having a relationship. And you notice, you would never make up the things in your own mind that you say about yourself. You're never that kind to yourself. So when you get things like that that are really encouraging, uplifting, loving, and comforting, you know that's coming from God. That's coming from Jesus.
So we just want to encourage you to keep practicing, keep spending time with the Lord, keep talking to him, and keep letting him talk to you. That's the most important thing, okay? Don't monopolize the conversation. Let him share what is on his heart for each one of you. Okay, God bless you all. Have a wonderful week, and we hope to see you back next week.